live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, we hear from a parent who is being forced to fork out €1,100 for private school transport in Letterkenny. A demonstration highlighting the pressures facing workers and families from rising energy bills is being held in Derry on Saturday. The main fishing bodies have this week presented their case to the Taoiseach. And another thunderstorm warning has been issued for Donegal. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport coming up with Kenny Harkin, followed by Farming News and Views with Chris Ashmore. First news though, the Energy Minister says the government won't be policing the public on their energy usage. Eamon Ryan says instead people are being encouraged to cut electricity waste so they're not losing out on heat and comfort. A mandatory target to reduce electricity use at peak times is one of a number of measures proposed by the EU Commission to deal with the energy crisis. Minister Ryan says energy saving measures won't operate as a fatwa.
What we want to tackle is the waste use. We don't want people to lose out on heat and comfort in their home. That's important. We get through the winter, everyone gets through warm and healthy. But you can do that and also save. And it's very practical. It won't work if it's a fatwa, there's some sort of police system on it. It has to be something where people are actually helped.
Well, the Donegal deputy says electricity prices should be brought back to pre-crisis levels in the upcoming budget. In its alternative budget, Sinn Féin says it would also provide payments to households to help with gas bills, as well as other measures to help with childcare. The party says it hasn't received an official cost from the Department of Finance for its package, but its own estimates are around €4 billion. Sinn Féin's finance spokesperson, Donegal deputy Pierce Doherty, says Ireland should be following the lead of other EU countries in capping the costs of electricity.
We've seen, obviously, the French have actually nationalised their energy delivery mechanisms and have capped prices. So it's not just Liz Truss that are looking at this here. We see the Germans are taking in one-off measures. And what we see is the price of electricity has increased in the last 2 years for the average family by €1,200. We want to put that back into ordinary people's pockets.
Meanwhile, a demonstration highlighting the pressures facing workers and families from rising energy bills is being held in Derry on Saturday. The rally comes on the back of the announcement of huge hikes to gas prices due to come into force in October. Emma Ryan has more.
Mayor of Derry and Strabane District Council, Councillor Sandra Duffy, is encouraging people to attend the demonstration and has branded the current crisis a cost of living emergency. Councillor Duffy said the latest catastrophic rise in gas prices announced by Firmus this week is deeply worrying for workers, families and small businesses across the city and district. She called on the British government to introduce measures that will cut people's bills and put a stop to people being ripped off. She also said the executive needs to get back up and running, ministers in place and parties working together to put money in pockets. The demonstration will take place in the Guildhall Square at 1 p.m. this Saturday afternoon.
The school transport system is not fit for purpose. That's according to one Donegal father whose child has been unable to secure a seat on a bus. Yesterday, Bus Éireann claimed a number of pupils in the Letterkenny area were unsuccessful in acquiring a ticket as they did not register by the closing date. On today's 9 till noon show, Gavin refuted that claim.
Just to highlight, the lack of a meaningful response from Bus Éireann, like to come on and say that the people that apply late are the people that have an issue or that didn't. And that is just not true. The bigger picture is that the current scheme is not fit for purpose. A lottery system is no way to run a public service.
Meanwhile, another parent has been forced to fork out €1,100 for private school transport in Letterkenny. Amanda claims having applied for a bus ticket in March, she was turned down just 5 days before the beginning of the school term. She says there was a complete lack of thinking on behalf of government when rolling out the free transport scheme.
Now, the bus is costing me, I have the one child, so it's costing me €1,100. It was only supposed to cost me €100.
Wow.
Or for nothing in some cases now. So she is there making announcements about free bus this and free school bus that. There is no free bus in this house, I'll tell you. And for the rest of my family and neighbours that haven't gotten it, it's costing us money, or in some cases people aren't, I don't know what they're doing, they're asking family maybe to help out to lift them and to leave them off in the morning, they're trying to carpool, they're trying to get away from their jobs, they might not be able to even go to their jobs. Maybe in some cases, Greg, these children are being kept off school at home because their mother or father don't have a car. When Minister Foy made that announcement, she should have anticipated the massive increase on families that was going to apply for the free bus service. And she should have worked with Bus Éireann to ensure that she had enough buses and enough bus drivers to be able to actually make this a success, and she hasn't.
Britain's Prince Charles is at Balmoral with his mother as the Queen's doctors say they're concerned about her health. She's under medical supervision and is described as being comfortable. Queen Elizabeth's other children have also arrived in Aberdeenshire to be with her, as has Prince William. Royal correspondent Jenny Bond says it's very unusual to hear a statement from doctors about the Queen's health.
I do understand that they're not planning a move to hospital, that the plan is to keep her at Balmoral Castle and to treat her there.
The number of CAO applicants receiving an offer of a place at college has risen this year. Those receiving an offer of a place on their first preference course has also risen. However, some of the highest achieving students fail to get their top choices today because of inflated grades related points pressure. Minister for Higher Education Simon Harris says there are other routes available for those who have been left disappointed.
Now, in some college courses, it's not possible to create a massive increase in places in 1 year because it involves matching clinical placements and the likes. So what we will be doing is continuing to make investments to expand places where there is random selection, because I do think there's a fundamental unfairness that if you can get the top marks possible and still not get your place. But what I would say to those students again is that there can be other routes and other ways of still getting to where you want to get to.
The Meath fishing bodies have this week presented their case to the Taoiseach. The meeting has been described as the first step in a process aimed at ongoing engagement on the development needs of the seafood sector. The need for an all-government approach to help the declining sector was also high on the agenda. Brendan Byrne, Chief Executive of the IFPEA, says Leo Varadkar's view towards the future of fishing was positive.
Very healthy discussion took place on the need for an all-of-government approach in terms of fishing. As we've seen over the last number of years, there's constant decline in the fishing industry between catching sector and the fish processing sector. It is a sector that could have multiple employment than what it currently has. It must be looked at in regards of how other EU member states have developed their industry, while at the same time here in Ireland, our industry is declining.
And did the Taoiseach give any guarantees that he would be on top of this?
The Taoiseach certainly, in my estimation, was very well informed in terms of the current state of play within the Irish fishing industry. He certainly had initiatives and proposals of his own. He was mindful also that he is going to be Taoiseach if Dáil Éireann votes for that. And he is looking at that period ahead to see how he can put fishing front and centre for the new administration that would take office on the 15th of December. So I was very encouraged from that perspective that this is an individual that realises that the fishing industry has declined and that the full potential of the Irish fishing industry has not yet been realised, and that special attention is needed at political level for the future of the Irish fishing industry.
The Church Lane in Letterkenny will close for 4 weeks later this month to facilitate water mains replacement works. The works will involve the replacement of approximately 200 metres of old water mains, which when complete should significantly reduce bursts and provide a more reliable water supply. Donna Marie Doherty has more.
Laying new pipes as part of Irish Water's National Leakage Reduction Programme will also reduce the amount of treated drinking water lost underground and reduce disruptions from bursts and supply interruptions. To facilitate the safe delivery of this project, a road closure will be in place on Church Lane from Monday, September 19th to Friday, October 14th. Traffic will be diverted, but local and emergency access will be accommodated at all times. Earlier this year, Irish Water successfully replaced over 250 metres of old water mains along Wolfetone Place. They are now prioritising works in Church Lane, and removing the old pipes from the public water network will have major benefits for the supply in the area. Working with Donegal County Council, the utility says it prioritises leakage reductions works in the areas that need it most. The project will also involve laying new water service connections from the public water main en route to the customer's property boundaries and connecting it to customer's water supply. Where the existing service connections on the public side are laid, these will be replaced as part of the improvement work.
Another thunderstorm warning has been issued for Donegal. The Stanish Yellow Alert is in place until 9 o'clock tonight and covers the counties of Cavan, Leitrim, Sligo and Longford also. Met Aran is warning of local thunderstorms and lightning strikes resulting in poor driving conditions. Ferris Lane in Bonkrana has reopened to traffic today after being closed for over 3 years. The road has been closed since February 2019 when a major fire broke out and damaged a number of businesses close to the road. Councillor Jack Murray says the reopening of the road will be widely welcomed by residents in the area and will greatly enhance access to the town.
I'm delighted to see Ferris Lane open to traffic once again. It's one of the main routes off the Bonkrana Main Street and it's been closed for a number of years now since the fire that engulfed the old John Barr's shop and the plaza. So for years now I've been calling for it to be open, to work with the council to push for it. Local residents have become very, very frustrated at how long it would take it, but thankfully this morning it is open. And I'd like to pay tribute to the new roads engineer, Michael McFadden. The first initial municipal district meeting that he had attended, I'd asked him to make that a priority. They're very engaged with local landowners, and today we can see that it is once again open.
And what difference will this make then to the town? Will it help with traffic and just make the town more accessible?
Absolutely. There's a huge population down that side of the town. Obviously, that's their main access from the town back home. So it's a main route, and it's slap bang in the centre of Bonkrana. I would have said recently on Highland Radio that I don't think Bonkrana has ever looked better. The tidy towns have done a fantastic job. We've secured a lot of investment in the town. We're looking at upwards of €20 million to be invested in the shorefront. We hope to get the leisure centre open, but the one blemish is that site in the middle of the main street. And I hope now we've got this part of it done, we've got the Ferris Lane open, we can now move on and get those buildings restored to their former glory and have Bonkrana reaching its full potential and looking as good as we all know it can.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny. Cross the finish line in style with trainers from michaelmurphysports.ie.
Time now for all the latest in sport with Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Michaela. Good evening. Start with soccer, and Chelsea have confirmed Graham Potter as the new head coach, replacing Thomas Tuchel. The 47-year-old leaves Brighton, where he has been in charge for the past 3 seasons. Potter has signed a 5-year contract at Stamford Bridge, and his first game will come away to Fulham on Saturday. Meanwhile, Republic of Ireland manager Stephen Kenny must again plan without Adam Ida. The Norwich striker has been ruled out for a number of weeks as he requires exploratory knee surgery. A previous knee surgery ruled Ida out of June's quartet of Nations League games. Ireland are away to Scotland on the 24th of this month, with Armenia visiting Aviva 3 days later. On the pitch tonight, Shamrock Rovers welcome Swedish side Djurgården Gardens to Tala for their first group game in the Conference League. Richie Towles are out for the Hoops tonight, but Graham Burke and Simon Power should both be fit. Hoops manager Stephen Bradley highly rates tonight's opponents.
They're obviously right in contention to go and win their domestic league, and when you watch them you can see why. They've got real ability in their team, and you can see they're a really well coached team. It's going to be a difficult game.
Kick-off tonight's at 8 o'clock. At the same time in Group F, Molde, they host Ghent. Also in the Conference League action tonight, West Ham and Hearts are both in action. They entertain FCSB and Istanbul Başakşehir respectively. Those games also kick off later on tonight. There's an 8 o'clock start as well at Old Trafford tonight, where Manchester United face Real Sociedad in their opening game in Group E of the Europa League. Omonia Nicosia and Sheriff, they meet in the group's other game. And they kick off at 5:45 in Group A, where Arsenal are away to Zurich and PSV Eindhoven, they are playing Bodo Glimt. In Gaelic games, Limerick pair Dermot Burns and Barry Nash have both been nominated for the Hurler of the Year award. They're in the running alongside TJ Reid of Kilkenny. All-Ireland champions Limerick, they dominate the All-Star nominations with 12 players shortlisted. A total of 10 counties are represented, with Westmeath's Killian Doyle among those nominated in the forwards. In golf, Shane Lowry's 6-under par opening round of 66 leaves him just two shots off the lead held by Tommy Fleetwood and Andy Sullivan. They're both on 8 under par after shooting 64s at the BMW Championship in Wentworth today. Rory McIlroy, he's in the clubhouse on 4 under par. Graham McDowell and Jonathan Caldwell, they're 1 under and 3 over respectively. And Leona Maguire's dropped back to 1 under par with 8 to play in her first round of the Queen City Championship in Ohio. Stephanie Meadow is level par with 4 to play. There's currently a 4-way tie for the lead on 4 under par. In athletics, Ciara McGeehan returns to the track this evening, less than a week on from setting a new 1500 metre Irish record. She takes her place in the Diamond League final in Zurich around 7 o'clock this evening. And in tennis, it's women's semi-finals night later at the US Open. First up, Caroline Garcia plays 5th seed Ange Jabeur. And that's followed by the meeting of top seed Iga Świątek and Irina Sabalenka. In motorsport, Lewis Hamilton will start from the back of the grid for this weekend's Italian Grand Prix after taking an engine penalty. The 7-time Formula One world champion's been forced to change his 4th power unit of the season. That's one more than what's allowed under Formula One's rules. In horse racing, Dermot Wells, Irish 1000 Guineas winner Homeless Songs, heads the 11 declarations for Saturday's Group 1 Coolmore America Justify Matron Stakes at Leopardstown on day one of the Long Isles Irish Champions weekend. Homeless Songs returns to action for the first time since her Guineas win in May, and her trainer says he's pleased that the recent rain should present his filly with her preferred cut in the ground.
I'm very pleased with her. Her preparation is going well, but we must remember she was winning at group level from me at the end of March, and then she won the Guineas very impressive. Then she went for a summer break, but she just doesn't go on firm ground. It's just the way to do her confirmation. She's coming back very nicely. Every drop of rain that falls will be helpful. She doesn't really want heavy ground. It's just nice ground that she can, as I said, use her action and be effective on it.
Finally, on the score this evening after the 7 o'clock news, Keith Cowan joins us for our League of Ireland football chat. While in Gaelic games, Liam Breen runs his eye over the quarter-finals of the Donegal Intermediate Championship. Also tonight, Dáisín Kelly has a rally special as he talks with recently crowned champions from Donegal, Junior British Rally Championship victor Eamon Kelly, British Academy Trophy champion Kyle McBride, and Joseph Kelly, a Junior European Rally Trophy winner, all those tonight. And if you can't wait for the programme this evening, you can... It is available at the moment now to watch on our website highlandradio.com. That's the score after the 7 o'clock news. Back to Michaela.
Thanks, Kenny. And for weather now, a mix of sunny spells and scattered showers with some turning heavy and the chance of isolated thunderstorms. Highs, temperatures of 17 to 20 degrees. A thunderstorm warning is in place for Donegal until 9 o'clock tonight. The closing headlines, a Donegal deputy says electricity prices should be brought back to pre-crisis levels in the upcoming budget. In its alternative budget, Sinn Féin says it would also provide payments to households to help with gas bills as well as other measures to help with childcare. A parent has been forced to fork out €1,100 for private school transport in Letterkenny. Amanda claims having applied for a bus ticket in March, she was turned down just 5 days before the beginning of the school term. The Church Lane in Letterkenny will close for 4 weeks later this month to facilitate water mains replacement works. The works will involve the replacement of around 200 metres of old water mains, which when complete should significantly reduce bursts and provide a more reliable water supply. And the thunderstorm warning, as mentioned, will be in place until 9 o'clock tonight and covers the counties of Donegal, Cavan, Leitrim, Sligo and Longford. Met Éireann is warning of local thunderstorms and lightning strikes resulting in poor driving conditions. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. Coming up next is Farming News and Views with Chris Ashmore. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
Highlands Farming News and Views is brought to you in association with Lifford Credit Union, who have recently launched Cultivate, an agricultural loan at only 6.55%, APR 6.75%. Call in to any of their three offices for more information or to make an appointment. Lifford Credit Union. Raphoe Newton Lifford, supporting local farmers.
Hello, good evening and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Coming up, we'll hear about a walk and talk mental health initiative in Donegal this Sunday that's been backed by the IFA. But first, there's been news this week about proposals for an exit payment to farmers to cut suckler cow numbers. This will be of considerable interest to a sizeable number of farmers here in the county. To find out more, I've been speaking with Adam Woods, beef editor with the Irish Farmers Journal. And I began by suggesting to him that this will lead to a lot of discussion.
Absolutely, Chris. I guess this is one of the proposals that came out of the government's Food Vision 2030 strategy group, a group established by the Minister of Agriculture, Charlie McConnellogue. And this group are tasked with, I guess, where agriculture is going. There's a dairy group, and this is, I guess, the beef and sheep group that these proposals have come out of. And I guess a lot of discussion around emissions and how we will hit our emissions targets at 25%. And there's a lot of talk among farmers at the moment as to how those emissions targets will be met. There's a lot of things in that, a lot of proposals in come out of that group that we would have already talked about over the last couple of weeks, like reducing slaughter age from 27 months back to 24 months, cutting the age of first calving. We're currently calving our heifers at sort of 28, 29 months. If we can pull that back to 24 months, it will mean less emissions. But one of the most controversial aspects of the proposals has been this exit scheme or this payment to exit suckler production. We understand that this was a similar proposal was came out of the dairy group that was dropped at the last minute from that dairy group. But we understand this is, I suppose, to cut suckler numbers for a fixed period or exit the sector completely, that the government would pay suckler farmers so much per cow. 5,000 a cow was mooted in the dairy scheme. We're not sure yet as to what payment will be there for the suckler scheme, but it's definitely generated a lot of discussion amongst farmers over the last couple of days.
And it would, of course, be voluntary.
Yes, absolutely. So I guess the government will be targeting maybe farmers towards maybe close to retirement or that want to exit production or want to ease back. And yeah, if you're looking sort of at 2,000 or 3,000, if you sold 10 cows, you realise the value of those, and they also get this payment from the government, I guess, to reduce production or exit production. It's unclear as to yet what you can do with that ground then, whether it's okay to be rented then to another farmer or leased to another farmer, or whether you can farm away on that ground. I suppose we don't have the level of detail yet. And look, it's at proposal stage, I guess. And it would be, yes, absolutely, it would be voluntary for farmers to enter into that. I suppose the other big question is tax. Will it be taxable? Will the sale of cows be taxable as well as regards if you were entering into that exit scheme?
And what has the reaction from the farming organisations been this week?
It's been pretty mooted, I guess, in terms of they're saying that, look, it's not written in stone. The group haven't signed off on that. We understand the group are to meet, and farm organisations are part of that group. They're to meet at the end of this week to sign off on the proposal. So it's one of the proposals at the moment. Whether it finds its way into the last document, it's one of 17 recommendations made by the group tasked with mitigating emissions from the sector. So it'll be interesting to see as to what happens at the end of the week. I know some farm organisations have expressed concern around the earlier slaughter age that could move. Would say a lot of cattle to a spring kill. It could move a lot of cattle to an indoor finishing system, and that would not be good for farmers because it would create maybe a glut of cattle in the springtime, and it would also increase costs on farms in terms of winter finishing. So I guess there's a lot of discussion to be had yet, and we'll watch that space.
And finally, this is an evolving process. The time frame, you know, how long will it be, do you think, before we'll get something definitive?
So the group will sign off on these proposals. We're expecting that at the end of this week. And then, I suppose, in the next couple of months, look, the next cap round is 2023. There's a lot of changes taking place as regards support payments for farmers in 2023. You've got a new organic farming scheme. That's another one of the proposals as part of this group, is to increase the area of ground under organic production. That's following European policy in terms of they want to see more farmers move into organics. That organic scheme will open in October, and farmers will enter into that scheme for 5 years from the 1st of January 2023. So we would expect a lot of these changes to be implemented in the first half of 2023 for payment, I guess, the end of 2023, if that follows through with a lot of those recommendations.
So for quite a lot of Donegal farmers, this could have big implications.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess farmers will be weighing up as regards where they're at. With their suckler system and whether, I guess, in terms of entitlements, there's a huge amount of flux there and a huge amount of change coming down the track for farmers with high-value entitlements. that they may see a big chunk of them moving away from their farm because of convergence, and they might opt, we'll say, out of production, or at least maybe reduce production as part of that, you know, as part of the plan for their farm going forward in the next 5 to 10 years. This is a Food Vision 2030 group, 2030 strategy. So I guess this will develop policy over the next sort of 7 or 8 years as regards where we're going. So, yeah, it will be of interest to farmers all over the country. But, yes, Donegal, with a lot of suckers up there, it will definitely be applicable to Donegal farmers.
And that was Adam Woods, beef editor with the Irish Farmers Journal. Now, turning to something completely different, on Sunday at 3 o'clock, there'll be a Let's Walk and Talk event at Ards Forest Park in support of the Green Ribbon Campaign, something that the IFA is fully behind. Tom Boyd, Donegal IFA PRO, has been explaining the background to it.
The Green Ribbon Walk, so this is taking place in every county throughout the country. There in the IFA, alongside other associations, are running it. So you have Mental Health Ireland there, and the DLDC, and Sea Change, and lots of different companies have come on board about this. And so it's all surrounded around mental health and to end mental health stigma. So it's kind of around that. Now, it's advertised as a talk and a walk, but you know, if you're not up for walking, you can come and have a chat and meet up with somebody, and just a wee social thing there.
And we hear a lot about how, you know, loneliness can be a problem in rural areas, and social interaction is so important. And, you know, just even having a chat with somebody can have its real benefits.
Yeah, I suppose we see, since COVID came along, it kind of put a stop to a lot of events when it had been bingo or things like that. And it would affect the rural parts a lot, you know, when there's not fit to go out. And people got out of the habit of going and meeting up and having a chat, you know. It's good to get out and have a chat with somebody and, you know, just pass the day and things like that.
So 3 o'clock at Ards Forest Park, no better place, a beautiful place. And I suppose, you, as you say, you don't have to walk, but if you are walking, you can walk as long or as short as you like. I mean, there's plenty of options down there. And there'll be people there who can give you further advice should you need it.
So we have, as I say, 3 o'clock at Ards Forest Park. There is one of the best locations in the country for it, really. We have Angus Kennedy there coming from Nature Northwest, and he'll be doing a wee nature walk. If you're up for walking, he'll be going around identifying trees and different things with nature. And then if you're not keen for walking, there's lots of places to sit around and chat. And you know, Bill Vaughan there has been involved in organising. He's from Mental Health Ireland, so he'll be about too, you know, any age at all. He can come along, and there'll be tea and refreshments afterwards as well. So it's always good to have a chat over a cup of tea as well.
Absolutely. And finally, before I let you go, Tom, the county executive had a meeting there on Frank McLean's farm on Tuesday night. A number of guest speakers and no shortage of items to discuss.
We had Brenton Golden up from IFA. He's the National Livestock Chair. And we had Thomas Burke. He was up, and they both gave a good range of discussions around the beef. And Thomas covered a lot and stuff that's happening and things are coming up. And then we had Laura Boyd speak as well. She's the Rural Development Officer in the county on the new schemes and all that that are starting to roll out now from the 1st of October, when they'll all open up for 2023. So yeah, it was a very good meeting.
And that was Tom Boyd, the PRO of the County Donegal Executive of the IFA. And finally, the Department of Agriculture has made available to farmers their individual stocking rates on agfood.ie. Farmers can now see their 2021 and 2022 stocking rate to date. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
Highland's Farming News and Views is brought to you in association with Lifford Credit Union, who have recently launched Cultivate, an agricultural loan at only 6.55%, APR 6.75%. Call in to any of their three offices for more information or to make an appointment. Lifford Credit Union. Rafo Newton Lifford, supporting local farmers.
The obituary notice is for this Thursday evening, September the 8th. The death has taken place of John McDevitt, Knockastoller, Bumbeg, originally from Fintown. His remains are reposing at Rorty's Funeral Home, Derrybeg, until 8 o'clock tonight, with Rosary at 8 o'clock, and tomorrow from 3 until 6:45. Removal afterwards to St Mary's Church, Derrybeg, for 7 o'clock to repose overnight. Funeral Mass in St Mary's Church, Derrybeg, on Saturday morning at 11 o'clock, with interment afterwards in Fintown Cemetery. The Funeral Mass can be viewed live on Kieran Rorty Funeral Director's Facebook page. Family flowers only, donations in lieu to Medical 4, Letterkenny University Hospital. The death has taken place of Sarah Ann Sadie McDowell of Drumquigley's Point. A funeral service will take place tomorrow at 12 noon in Greenbank Presbyterian Church at Quigley's Point, followed by burial in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, donations if wished in lieu of flowers to Nazareth House Nursing Home Fawn, County Donegal. The death has occurred of Lena Boyle, the Gate, the Diamond, Dunlow. Her remains are reposing in McGlynn's funeral home this evening with rosary at 9 o'clock. She will be reposing at her own home from tomorrow afternoon at 2 o'clock with rosary at 9 o'clock. Funeral Mass on Saturday morning at 11 o'clock in the Star of the Sea Church, Anagri, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The death has taken place of Peggy Brown, Headford, Galway and formerly of IA Ardra, reposing at Chauvelin's Funeral Home Sandfield this evening for family and close friends, followed by removal to the Church of the Holy Family Ardra, arriving at 7:30. Funeral Mass tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock, followed by burial in Headford, County Galway at approximately 4 o'clock. Family flowers only, please. The death has occurred in Southampton, England, of Charlie Doherty, formerly of 10 Cockhill Road, Buncrana. His remains are reposing at his former residence in Buncrana today. Funeral leaving there at 10:30 tomorrow morning for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Cockhill, with burial afterwards in the adjoining graveyard. And the death has taken place of Charlie Doherty, Breda Glen, Moville. His remains are reposing at his home. Funeral from there tomorrow morning for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in St Columba's Church, Ballinacray, followed by burial in the adjoining graveyard. House private, please. For more details, including any family health guidelines for wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.